So I finally freed up a large amount of time. So now I have so much free time to play all these video games I've wanted to play, but I'm feeling like I want to play something different, you know? I want to play some kind of third-person shooter with, you know, RPG elements, heavy RPG elements, you know, decisions that alter the story, but not something like The Walking Dead or something like The Walking Dead, but with, you know, third-person shooter gameplay and, you know, hopefully something that's available on PC. And obviously, yeah, I want to make sure that the decisions I make in this game, it's not like in Fallout, but something that actually affects the plot and, you know, changes the ending heavily based on decisions I made, like, during the first game. Do you guys have any suggestions? Are there any games that do this? Like, maybe like a trilogy of games, you know, that I should check out?
Funny enough, next month, they are remastering the three good Mass Effect games for consoles and PC. So go look at that.
Wow, nice. Mass Effect. I heard a lot of good things about that game. I heard really good things about the third game. That it's so satisfying.
Everyone loved the ending.
Yeah, exactly. So I should definitely check that out. When is that coming out?
That is coming out on May 14th, so you have a little under a month. And good news for you, they are changing up some of the not-so-good elements of the trilogy in preparation for this remaster trilogy.
Oh, so they're fixing the ending?
No, they are not. They. To be fair, though, they did do the Ultimate Cut ending when Mass Effect 3 was still new, and now that is the default. That DLC is going to be included in the game as your natural ending. But BioWare recently put out a blog post detailing a variety of changes that are going to be coming to at least a little changes in each one. Most of these changes are coming to the first one because the first one just plays so differently than the other two. The biggest difference is going to be coming in combat with Mass Effect 1, where accuracy is actually going to be accurate. That was kind of a big complaint about Mass Effect 1, that you know, you'd have your shot lined up perfectly, except that you still used traditional RPG elements, where even if you should hit, sometimes you just don't, because that's how dice rolls work. And that wasn't really a problem in Mass Effect 2 or 3, because that was more of a third-person shooter than an RPG. So they are updating the combat in Mass Effect 1 to reflect that a little bit better, and it kind of just makes the entire trilogy seem more unified and cohesive as a series of games rather than just three games in the same universe. And there are a couple other changes they're doing to the combat are you can now melee intentionally. In the first game, you could only melee a alien or a robot, Geth, whatever you're fighting, if you were close enough and then hit the trigger, and then it would just automatically punch the dude. Wow. Now that's going to be mapped to a button. You can actually use all weapons now in the game without having a penalty. There were some weapons you just straight up couldn't use without penalty. But you'll still have class-specific specializations for certain weapons. So that'll be fun. The Mako. Do you guys know what the Mako is? I know you're...
That's the truck, isn't it?
It's the orange thing, right?
It's the orange truck, right?
The orange thing is an Omni tool. The Mako, Steven got it right. It's the truck tank thing that you use to you use that to traverse planets that you might not be able to survive on foot, and it's supposed to get you across faster. Except the gameplay switches between being really floaty and really slow. So most people don't like the Mako. They're changing that. They're giving it new physics upgrades. So that when you like try to boost and jump in it, it actually does it and doesn't just float forever. There was also a problem. So it's got a cannon that you can use to fight larger alien monstrosities or even just the little foot soldiers if you just want to be in a tank and just mow them down. There was a problem with it where if the camera was in just the wrong position and you were trying to shoot too low, you just wouldn't be able to do so. That's apparently been changed as well, so I'm looking forward to actually enjoying Mako gameplay for once. So yeah, there's just, it's a whole list of changes that basically boils down to, we're making Mass Effect 1 better.
Are there any changes made to 2 or 3, aside from the ultimate cut ending?
Yes. So Mass Effect 2 is going to have rebalanced ammo drops, because sometimes you'd either get too much or too little ammo based on which level you were on. That's interesting, too. They're not adding the ammo aspect to Mass Effect 1 through this. They're still having the infinite ammo weapon cooldown. So that's kind of neat. But other than that, the biggest change is going to come in the form of character creation, where the character creators will actually be consistent with each other in these three games. There was a big problem specifically with Mass Effect 3, how sometimes you're character from the previous games wouldn't import in when you were starting a new Mass Effect 3 game. This actually happened to me, where my character from Mass Effect 1 and 2, all of the choices and class stuff transferred, but the created character did not, so I just ended up using the default for the game because I didn't want to try and recreate my custom appearance.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
Wait, I thought Mass Effect just had, like, Shepard and female Shepard.
It does just have Shepard and just female Shepard, but you can customize their appearance.
Oh.
Don't you mean male Shepard and then canon Shepard? That's what you meant, right?
Well, the future is female.
That is the popular opinion, yes.
Yeah, because that's definitely what I'm going to be doing. If not just to piss off, you know, some GBA temp members, I want to sort of be a strong, independent woman playing the game. I can relate to it. So, yeah, no, Mass Effect 1, I played part of it because it did. I don't remember when I played it. It was several years back, but it was after the trilogy was all out, and it just felt kind of dated, so I wasn't really into it. So I'm glad to hear that this bundle, the will rebalance everything and make the first game something that maybe I do want to play in 2021.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how much it actually does change once we actually get to play it rather than just look at screenshots. But one thing I did notice in that blog post is that there's a screenshot of a mission from Mass Effect 1, and even the heads-up display has elements from Mass Effect 2 and 3 as opposed to the Mass Effect 1 HUD. So That's the interesting. They're trying to make this more of a uniformed experience for the remastered trilogy. So hopefully some of these changes work out for the better. I'm one of those assholes who loves Mass Effect 1. I played it when it came out, so even though it feels dated today and it's aged like milk, I still prefer that game over the other two.
So are you disappointed in all these changes?
No, because I still have my Xbox 360 copy of the original if I ever get a hankering for unoptimized gameplay and just a generally worse experience. But more so, I think it'll mean that more people will actually be willing to give my favorite entry in the trilogy a try.
So I know we're going to talk about Naughty Dog later, so I'm not going to get too far into it. But this kind of reminds me of when they remastered the first three Uncharted games for the PS4, where Uncharted 1 was very fun for the PS3. Well, I heard I actually didn't have a PS3, so I skipped that. But the remake sort of took the elements from 2 and 3 and shoved them into 1 to make it less of a dated game. And I appreciated that, though I wasn't able to compare it to the old version. I generally don't play remasters, and I guess I'll talk about that a little later, too, unless if I played the original. But if I haven't played the original, then I'll play the remaster. So in Mass Effect's case, I think I'm going to go ahead and play the remastered versions or whatever they're calling it, the rebalancing, the legendary edition, the rebalancing version with the quote unquote forward compatibility with the PlayStation 5.
Well, and funny enough, if you wanted to stick with your original play of not playing games that you've played before in their remastered state, you can just jump in at Mass Effect 2. The Dark Horse Mass Effect Genesis comics, which were made for, I believe, Sony and Nintendo versions of the games, which basically just gives you all of the major choices that you could have made in Mass Effect 1 and lets you just make them quickly. That'll be included in the Legendary Edition. So if you want to just skip over Mass Effect 1, don't know why you would, but if you wanted to...
All right, good to know for something for fools to do. to skip the first game. Like everybody who jumped right into The Witcher 3. I'm like, first of all, you didn't even read all the books yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on my level, everybody. Jordan over here named his dog Cirilla, and he never even read all the Witcher books.
No, I've only read 2.5 Witcher books. I mean, a failure of a fan.
I've seen so many source filmmaker fan art of Ciri. I never even played
stop.
The games.
Just stop.
I mean, it looks good.
You guys can't see his eating grin right now. So I am excited about Mass Effect. I know I say that every time like these things happen. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna play this. You know, as soon as I'm less busy as a lawyer, I'm gonna be playing this.
Hey,
for
you know
sure.
How you're obnoxious about trying to get me to read One Piece and play Kingdom Hearts? That's how I'm gonna be with Mass Effect Legendary Edition for you.
Except the difference is I'll actually do it, you asshole.
So is there like, are you disappointed at all that this isn't an authentic Mass Effect experience, that it's not going to be like in terms of like game preservation and stuff like that? Because people are talking about how, you know, Sony isn't preserving all these digital only games that are disappearing from the Vita store. So like eventually Mass Effect 1 discs could become rare and you won't be able to download them separately. And there'll be no way to play that original version of the game that you love. Does that disappoint you at all, or do you think it's only good that they're rebalancing it?
You know, I kind of have both, because right now you can still buy the trilogy individually. They've had it packaged together, and I think it's called the Ultimate Collection before. That's not any remasters or anything, though, and it's not even the DLC added in. It's just literally the three games in one box. But I think as long as they continue to keep the initial Mass Effect 1 experience available, whether through reprinting discs for a now two generations old system, or at least keep it up digitally, I'll be less disappointed. But yeah, no, if they start pulling the original trilogy, including the original Mass Effect 1, in favor of trying to get people to purchase the Legendary Edition instead, that would kind of bug me. Game preservation is important.
Yeah, and I guess to be fair, Microsoft has been pretty decent about that, and that was on the 360, wasn't it?
Yep. It was a 360 exclusive for a while, actually. It was one of the main titles I pointed to my friends who had PS3s and just say, like, hey, you can't play this. And then they could play Mass Effect 2.
Same thing happened with Dead Rising.
Yep, Dead Rising was another one. Dead Rising, Gears of War, Halo 3, and Mass Effect were my main go-tos whenever my friends would try to get me to switch to PS3.
You know, it's funny how you talk about Xbox exclusives, because for the past couple of years, we haven't had any good Xbox exclusives. Only recently, Microsoft has finally realized that they have a lot of money and decided to just buy up all these studios. Who cares? Who's going to stop them? Nobody. Was Sony going to buy? What? Nothing. So Microsoft bought Bethesda, bought ZeniMax, bought all those studios, and now it's got a lot of exclusives coming up, and they're not stopping there, because supposedly, these are just rumors, that the next Hideo Kojima game by Kojima Productions supposedly is going to be published by Microsoft, which means, in theory, it's going to be an Xbox and Windows exclusive. Now, first, before I get into this, what are your guys' opinions on Hideo Kojima as an artiste, as a video game director, as a visionary? Do you like his games? Do you think he's just a hack that, you know, Death Stranding wasn't that good? I don't know. Just don't spoil Death Stranding for me, because I haven't played it yet. I'm still saving up on the money to get it. So what do you guys think? Is this a good idea by Microsoft or not?
Well, I also haven't played Norman Reedus and the Funky Fetus yet, but it's interesting because the situation is that a lot of those earlier games, I can't say it with a straight face.
Jeez.
I don't know. I just wanted to get that in there. Alan Judd's like dying over there. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess, so being a Xbox gamer primarily, I actually don't think I've ever played any of Hideo Kojima's games, but in filmmaking there is the concept of an auteur, which is to say a director or author of a film that you can take a look and just know by the very simplest of elements that it's part of their work. And Kojima is definitely an auteur in the video games space of medium. So just on that aspect alone, I think it's really cool that we have something, at least one instance of that in gaming. I feel like that's an important part of film. So to see it cross over into this other medium is really cool.
And it's appropriate because everything Kojima does is so heavily inspired by movies too, clearly. Like he loves, even his Twitter bio says something along the lines of, my body is 70% made of movies. And,
well, I mean, most of what he tweets is just what movie he went to see that day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Metal Gear Solid. There's a lot that I find interesting and that I respect about Death Stranding, even though I didn't like that game at all.
You reviewed it, right?
Yeah, I gave it a 5.
Whoa.
But like, if you read that review, I spend most of it talking about Kojima's, or how that game struggles to translate his love of movies to video games as a medium because they're so different. And it's not the kind of game where like I played it and I was like, this is crappy and dismissed it. There's clearly a lot of work that went into it. There's clearly a lot of love. There's a lot to dissect and think about. I just don't think that one in particular worked. A lot of people do think it worked, and that's great. I wish I liked it because it is an interesting game, but I am a big Hideo Kojima fan.
So it's a very funny way this all started, because recently there was this announcement for this indie game by Blue Box called Abandoned, and I've looked at the trailer and it looks, remember Slender? That horror game made in Source?
Slender Man? Yeah.
Yes. No, I think it was just called Slender at first and then Slender Man.
It was.
Yeah.
Slender Boy.
It was Slender, and then it became Slender the 8 Pages, I believe.
Yeah, then it became those little girls in real life killing that other person, right?
That happened in your state, right?
That happened in the United States. Where do you think murders happen?
I mean, I've never experienced a school shooting. It must be an American thing. Anyways.
It's American institution. It's the goddamn Second Amendment.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's precisely what it is, Steven. That's how it's written. Anyways, Hideo Kojima.
He killed those little girls in the woods.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Me either. I almost did, but I won't.
So, Blue Box, it's a relatively unknown studio. I've never heard of them before, and they come up with this game that some people say looks amazing and fantastic and so realistic. And I look at it, and it's just trees. There's a campfire and
trees are spooky snow. Though, man, you ever been out in the woods alone?
Yes, I have multiple times. I'm Ukrainian.
Oh my god, how do you not know about trees? They're terrifying.
Okay, first of all, I don't know if Ellen John actually lives in Ukraine.
We're not gonna talk about that. Come on.
Okay, that's... okay, we'll leave that for the EOF.
Anyways, so this video comes out, and for some reason, people automatically think that this is a Kojima thing. Why, you might ask? Well, because a couple of years ago, back when PT, the Silent Hills playable teaser, came out, it wasn't by... Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry, I'm misremembering it. This was back in the day when Metal Gear Solid 5 was announced. So it had a very interesting announcement. So first they showed Ground Zeroes, which they said was Metal Gear Solid 5. But at the same time, in parallel, there was this other studio called Moby Dick Studios, which were showing off this game called The Phantom Pain. And it wasn't, like, related to Metal Gear at all, but the main character kind of looked like Snake. Or maybe not. Oh, no, he kind of did. And he was walking in a hallway, and it's basically the first chapter of The Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5, in the form of a trailer, and it was made by this Moby Dick Studios, and the CEO of Moby Dick Studios, the head developer, was a guy with bandages on him, and that was supposed to be actually Kojima, which was funny. So yeah, he basically had this arc where, oh, this is Ground Zeroes and this is Phantom Pain. What's the Phantom Pain? Well, I don't know what the Phantom Pain is. I'm developing Ground Zeroes. That's Metal Gear Solid 5, not Phantom Pain. I don't know what that is. And then it turns out that, yeah, Phantom Pain is actually Metal Gear Solid 5. And it was all a ruse. For what purpose? No idea. Still to this day. I don't know what he tried to explain. Well, actually, maybe it does make sense in context of the game, but I'm not going to spoil it. because that's a good game. Maybe it does, but still, that's just over-the-top ARG Kojima stuff. And people are just so hungry for new Kojima content after Death Stranding that they're taking every single piece. Like, okay, this is a PlayStation game, and it reminds them kind of the Phantom Pain teaser, because it's just a guy walking, not in a hospital, but in the woods, and it's by a relatively unknown studio, and it has a very simple name, Abandoned. And they did the same thing with PT. It was also published by another studio, supposedly, but then in the end of the PT, it turns out that no, this is Silent Hills, which never came out, unfortunately. So people are speculating, oh, this is a new ARG. Definitely. Turns out, nah, because Jeff Grubb, you know, the Jeff Grubb himself, basically wrote that this can't be a Hideo Kojima project because he's currently in talks with Microsoft to publish his next game. And what that next game is, I don't know. No idea. We've heard rumors that Sony might have bought the rights to Silent Hill from Konami back, and possibly even Metal Gear. And supposedly, maybe Kojima might be working on that. But if this is true, then that's out the window. Like, there's no chance in hell that Sony's doing that with Kojima, at least. So this is interesting. I'm really interested to see what Kojima's next project is. Is it going to be like Death Stranding 2? Is it going to be something different? I don't know. We'll have to see. So, who exactly is Jeff Grubb?
Jeff Grubb is a writer for VentureBeat, I think. So he claims to have some kind of inside source, you know, close to the situation that I guess would know something about this. That's kind of vague. It's a little loose, but the only kind of like solid evidence you could point towards in all this is that Phil Spencer, the CEO of Xbox, I believe, something like that, he did a live stream recently where there was a little Ludens guy, the mascot for Kojima Productions, on the shelf behind him, right next to this little light-up, glowy Xbox symbol that people are kind of taking as a sign, like, oh, okay, maybe he was hinting at a possible, you know, collaboration with Kojima Productions. It's not impossible, but looking at the photo of him on stream, I mean, he also has a Nintendo Switch behind him.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It means Master Chief's coming to Smash.
Exactly.
Nice.
But, you know, speaking of Phil Spencer, wasn't it once they actually officially revealed the Xbox Series S, didn't he like make a big show of it that he took it off a shelf and was like, oh, it's been here the whole time. You didn't even notice.
Oh, did he? I don't remember that.
I think I remember something like that. So if that happened, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be the first time that he was hinting to future projects.
That's what he did with the Xbox Series S.
That's what I was thinking.
He tried to do it with the Xbox Series X first, I think, but it kept breaking the shelf in the background.
Well, that's what you get for putting a mini fridge on a shelf, okay?
So I'm looking at his shelf right now, and I see like a lot of stuff. Obviously, the picture is just a little bit blurry. So there's also a skull with a crown on it. That might be like a Dark Souls thing, so who knows. And also, is that a bong?
It does. It kind of looks like one, doesn't it? It looks like a very futuristic bong.
It looks like part of a lightsaber on the top and like a bowl.
It definitely looks like a bowl down bottom. And there's actually a stem coming out on the left. It looks like, it really does look like a bong.
Oh my god.
You said that he has a, I'm not looking at the picture, he has a skull.
Yeah.
Does it look like this skull or like this skull?
I don't know.
Eric, because this is an audio podcast.
Yeah. Well, f*** you if you're not.
I like that Eric won't look at the picture that is available to everyone and we're all looking at, but he wants the listeners to know.
Why does Eric have two skulls?
I have two skulls in my room.
That is,
Eric, you got issues.
That's creepy. People complain about my knife collection. This dude, who's supposedly a lawyer, keeps two skulls in his room. Would you trust that kind of lawyer? Like, these are my previous clients. Look.
I was about to say, every time he loses a case and someone gets sent to jail, he buys another skull to represent.
Have you guys seen my gargoyle?
Oh my god. Why does it have a chain? Is that a real chain? Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyways.
This is quickly becoming the EOF cast.
Alright, sorry.
There's also a copy of Life is Strange Before the Storm behind him on his shelf. So, I mean, I don't know what that means.
I thought you were talking about my shelf. Sorry, I thought we were still talking about me.
Yeah, no, for once we're off you. You don't know you have anything to add to the story, so you just start pulling shelves off of your... Or you start pulling skulls off your shelf to draw attention to yourself.
Hey, at least I don't have any skeletons in my closet.
Oh!
Oh, let me know about.
Yeah, you will by next week if no one's talking about you.
Where does Jesus. Phil Spencer live?
I don't know.
What state is he know. In?
Let's find out. Well, I think the headquarters are in Washington, aren't they? So he's probably in Washington.
What's the
not DC, the state?
What's the green laws in Washington? What's the situation on the Mary Jane
in Washington?
Yeah, because Phil Spencer might be in trouble.
Well, it's a water pipe.
Where are you getting these weapons?
Eric, have a sword.
Oh no, it's legal in
yes,
in
two
Washington.
Swords, two fencing swords. Why? What the
for extracting skulls?
You don't?
No, I want to get a lightsaber, but that's a toy. But you have weapons that can
kill
people.
Why do you have
people.
Two rapiers, Eric?
No, that's a fencing
we
sword.
We don't call them that anymore.
Rapiers.
Oh, Eric, is that covered under your Second Amendment rights? Like, if someone breaks into your house in the middle of the night and you want to defend your family, can you use a rapier?
Only if it's a soldier.
Oh, okay.
The Third Amendment. AK-47.
The Third Amendment says that no soldier shall quarter my home during peacetime nor in time of war except in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Yeah.
And I respect that amendment.
Phil Spencer likes to get high. That's the only thing I get from this story. So maybe he got too high and thought that Ludens was actually just a white version of Master Chief and accidentally put him there. I don't know.
He could have happened.
That's probably what happened. Maybe he got high and thought he already owned Kojima Productions because he's just buying up every studio.
That's the sound Phil Spencer makes when he buys a new studio.
Time to celebrate, boys.
What sound would he make if he bought a prototype for an old Castlevania game off eBay?
What sound does crack
make? Do you like that transition?
That's an oddly specific thing, but...
This is why I don't do the transitions.
Yeah, so a listing on eBay popped up for Castlevania Resurrection, which is a 3D Castlevania game that was never released for the Dreamcast. This was back in the era where the Castlevania devs wanted to try something new. And instead of, you know, they experimented with a lot of things. They did like two 3D platformers on the Nintendo 64. And they put most of their effort in that. And they gave like just some random guy the PS1 to develop on that. And in the process created two really mediocre games for the Nintendo 64. And created one of the best platformers of all time. For the PlayStation 1, which is Symphony of the Night, which is an amazing game.
Not only did he create one of the best platformers on the PlayStation, he created a genre with Metroidvania.
He
popularized the genre.
Okay, Metroidvania as a thing, I can agree. But you have to acknowledge that Super Metroid was, like, in fact, like the first true Metroidvania.
Well, yeah. Because that's fair.
The first two Metroids, they're like basically platformers with puzzles in them, I suppose. But like Super Metroid is the one that actually brought that concept to where it is right now.
For sure. Fair
it
enough.
Stayed there for a long time until Arkham Asylum came by. And so, yeah, have we ever seen gameplay from this stuff?
We have actually. Right before the, like a few days before the listing, the person who claims that they found it, which they just found it in a box of their old things, they found this disc of the E3 1999 demo for Castlevania Resurrection. They put it in a Dreamcast, booted it up, and it's obviously not finished. It's not even, the levels aren't even connected. You have to select them from a menu. But he showed it off in action and got the world excited. and then a few days later promptly put it up on eBay.
So has it sold yet? Does anybody know?
I don't know, because it was put up on eBay. The listing started at $1 for a, I believe, 10-day auction. And then at the end of day 9, it had reached as high as $20,000 and then got pulled by the seller.
Did he say why he pulled it?
Let me double check, actually. I'll go to the listing and see if he ever updated the description. But the day he pulled it, there was no updated. I can't even get to the listing anymore because the link I had for it just brings me to eBay Home. So, yeah, wow. To my knowledge, he has not revealed why he pulled it. The strong existing theory is that it's going to a private seller.
Well, I was going to ask, could it be that they were fake bids?
It definitely could have been troll bids, because I know a lot of people were upset that he was selling it without dumping the contents, which he then actually had to go back and edit the eBay description, being like, hey guys, I promise I wouldn't sell this without ripping the contents from the disc. It'll be uploaded eventually.
He doesn't have to do that. He can sell it if he wants. That's dumb. I mean, I get why people want him to, but he shouldn't feel pressured to dump something if, you know, why should he have to? You know what I mean?
I guess for me, it's because this is the only known existing copy of Castlevania Resurrection. And as I kind of mentioned earlier with Mass Effect 1, game preservation is super important. Okay. So for that aspect alone, I would have liked to see it uploaded and archived, if only to preserve the work that was completed before the game got canceled. But as far as people wanting it dumped just so that they can play it, that's a little entitled, I guess. But for me, it's the game preservation. We do need to be preserving the history of gaming.
I'm looking at, I just watched the video of the gameplay, and I'll be really honest. I can see why this was canned. The thing with Castlevania in 3D, how do you, in 2D, you can use a whip. Right, because it hits instantly, but with three dimensions, you can't aim like a whip properly, especially with just a joystick. It's just too finicky. You'd miss a lot, unless you'd have something like Z targeting, which this game doesn't have like anything. It's not like Ocarina of Time or Dark Souls in that matter. So it looks like kind of a primitive early 3D type of game, like maybe Tomb Raider. So, yeah, I don't think that formula would work, but still, it definitely deserves, like, to be preserved. Like, people put effort in this. It would be a shame for this to just, you know, get thrown in the abyss, in the ether, and never be discovered again. So that's a good thing. I'm definitely gonna be eager to see, like, gameplay from this once it gets dumped. I want to see more stuff. I want to see what this thing is like, where does it take place in the Castlevania timeline, whatever.
So we do know where the story was meant to take place. It was supposed to be set in 1666, which means it would have taken place before Castlevania 1, and it would have featured a time travel storyline to fit in the 1800s vampire hunter Victor Belmont, who then was brought back in the 3D reboots of Castlevania, which aren't very good. And that's why no one ever talks about them.
Is that the one that Kojima produced? Lords of Shadow?
Yes.
Those?
Okay. Oh, I didn't know Kojima produced them. That's interesting.
Produced the first one, at least, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Lords of Shadow. I also didn't know that Kojima produced it, so I guess I have played a Hideo Kojima game.
It's such a weird game because, like, all the Castlevania games are like, you need to kill Dracula. Dracula's back. We need to do something about this. We need to kill him. Dracula, he needs to, you know. But in Lords of Shadow, guess what? Guess what? Guess who you're playing as? Oh, I'm not going to spoil it, but if you have an IQ higher than 10, you'd probably guess it already.
So technically, I believe it's Castlevania Curse of Darkness where you play as Leon Belmont. That one, you're not trying to kill Dracula. Because it's Dracula's origin story.
Ooh.
So that's not the pitched point of that game.
Yeah, but Yeah, I've heard of that game. It takes place like the earliest chronologically. Like he's the first Belmont, yep. I think.
Yep, Leon is the patriarch of the Belmont family in a way.
Wait, so who do you fight in that game? Or does Dracula come up?
I don't remember his name, but Leon had a companion who then sells his soul to become a vampire and becomes Dracula.
Wait, is Lords of Shadow the one where Dracula's trying to destroy a pharmaceutical company? Or am I confusing that with a different game?
I think you're confusing that with a different franchise, but
okay. I thought someone told me about a game where he's trying to take down a pharmaceutical company.
What? Okay, I'm interested now. I need you to find out what game this is.
All right, I'll get back to you.
Dracula takes down a pharmaceutical company.
Is it, maybe it's Ninja Gaiden? I can't remember.
No.
Not the first one. One of the sequels. Raiden.
Oh, yeah. Lords of Shadow 2 does have some pharmaceutical company nonsense.
Yeah, booyah! I knew it.
Explains why I got confused, because I haven't played Lords of Shadow 2. I thought you were calling back to when Eric thought that Castlevania was Resident Evil.
Oh, no, I wasn't
that was
even.
Not, that was off the podcast. That was not...
Also, while
canon.
We're making fun of Eric, I was saying earlier about how he didn't have anything to contribute to the Kojima conversation, and
that
he brought
was
over
off the podcast,
and he brought over some skulls and rapiers so that people would talk about him. And then while we were talking about Castlevania, he walked off screen and came back with all the splints on his whole finger, as if he broke his hand off screen. And we never acknowledged it. We never gave him the attention he was looking for. I feel like during the next story, he's gonna walk back in with half his teeth missing. Be like, "Mommy hates me."
Guys, listen to me.
I just got in a fight with a random guy outside. I forgot my rapier. Man.
I first produced my pistol before she'd stolen away my rapier.
Oh, I small correction. It was Castlevania Lament of Innocence that Leon was in. Curse of Darkness was the sequel to Castlevania 3, where you play as one of the Forge Masters in Dracula's employ that you never saw until now. But it's a continuation of the Trevor Belmont story. So had my 3D Castlevania games mixed up, that's all.
Isn't that Dracula X?
Dracula X. I don't believe so.
Hmm.
Let me see.
I wish I was into any one franchise as deep as you guys are into this shit, or like One Piece or Resident Evil. Yeah, like I don't know.
I'm into like ten.
I don't. Yeah, because like it sounds cool. I want to know something inside out like this, and I don't really have that with anything. I'll play like a couple games, or I'll play the big ones, and I'm like, this is so cool. I like it, but I don't. I've never had the drive to get into the nitty gritty. I always kind of wished I did.
Where were we on? Castlevania.
We were talking about Castlevania. You and I were specifically.
Yeah, Castlevania over to Bloomberg.
How do we do that? I have an idea. I do have an idea, but I lost it. It sounded better in my head. Eric, do you have any idea how to do this?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Eric, you're the transition master. We need you.
I'm drunk.
No!
Steven, maybe you? Maybe?
I should have gotten that second one. Oh my god.
Not really. I mean, we could talk about how Michael Bloomberg is old and he looks like a Dracula.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
I got one. Everybody shut the fuck up. I don't have one.
Okay.
What the f***?
Bruh.
Michael Bloomberg. What about him?
He's old and he's rich.
Suspiciously rich. Do we know how he made all that money?
Vampire hunting?
Vampire bean.
Whoa. Can vampires, like, control people's minds? Isn't that a thing?
They can charm people.
Michael Bloomberg can't, though.
Suggestible.
Never mind. That theory just went right out the window.
So speaking of rich old people from the 1600s, Michael Bloomberg is in charge of... Bloomberg, they do news and stuff, and also he ran for president once, but we don't really talk about that. He spent as much money to get like one electoral vote from Puerto Rico, whereas Tulsi Gabbard got the same amount just because she forgot to drop out. Anyway, Bloomberg reported that The Last of Us is being remade for the PS5.
I really like that intro because it sounds like Michael Bloomberg himself wrote it, like he was talking to people at Naughty Dog and Sony. Exciting to me. Yeah.
He was like, yo, hey, Naughty Dog. Remember The Last of Us? I really liked that. Well, it's Michael Bloomberg, so he probably didn't like the second one for, reasons. So they're remaking The Last of Us for PS5. They're remaking the PS3 game that was remade into a PS4 game that they will now remake into a PS5 game. Have any of you guys played The Last of Us before I tell you my thoughts?
No.
No.
I have not.
So I played The Last of Us, and it was very fun. I haven't played Part 2 yet, but I did play Part 1. I played the PS4 version of it, so I haven't played the PS3 version of it, but I don't imagine that the PS5 version of it is going to be very much different than the PS4 version of it, if you know what I'm saying. It's a good game. Play it. And
do you think it deserves, like, a remake? Like, a ground-up remake?
No. Is not necessary. I think that the PS4 version is not outdated. You could still play it today and it'll still feel like a newer game. I mean, it was like when they came out on the PS3, that was like the top of what the PS3 could do, almost like GTA 5. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's being remade constantly, or, you know, being ported constantly. But when you play GTA 5 on the PS5, it's like, okay, this still makes sense to be played on this, you know what I mean? The Last of Us is kind of a similar situation where it doesn't feel like an old game to me. So I don't think it's necessary to remake it from the ground up. I think that it would have been easy enough to just port it, but you know what? If it's going to make the money, they might as well, I mean, do it, I guess.
The interesting thing is I'm reading the article right now, not on Bloomberg, because they want you to pay money for that, and you know, paying money for news. Why would you do that? Visit GBA Temp instead. GBATemp.net is the leading gaming news website around the world. It's award-winning for its amazing articles, recommendations, and reviews. Check out GBATemp.net. And we actually published an article about this as well. And it's free. You don't have to pay even for the Patreon perk to see it.
And yeah. You know what else is free? The Last of Us itself is free. If you just message Alan John privately, he can get you wares. And you can just straight up download it right onto your PlayStation 5 system using homebrew hacking.
I don't think that's even possible.
Nope, it is. Alan John knows how to do it, but you got to privately message him about it. Don't post it on the forums, though. But if you want free Last of Us Part 1, the second remaster, not to be confused with the PS4 version, just straight up message Alan John, be like, hello, my name is, and then whatever your name is, and I am looking for free wares, and he will he's a moderator, he will give it to you.
I am, and that's not how any of this works. But yeah, the interesting thing about this is the developers who are currently working on this remake, they're in Naughty Dog, so it's not like, from what I understand, Naughty Dog developing, like, can the entirety of Naughty Dog developing this. It's just like a small team within Naughty Dog. And at first, they actually pitched a Uncharted remake, Drake's Fortune, the first one, which is kind of an old game, right? That's like the first Uncharted. So instead, they decided on remaking The Last of Us because, and I quote, it was more modern, would require less budget, and could be packaged with a PlayStation 5 version of the sequel. That's interesting. Now, this is all just speculation and insider stuff, so none of this obviously is confirmed.
According to the original article, it wasn't that Sony had planned this or Naughty Dog planned this. It was initiated by a group of people that wanted to form their own development studio at Sony, and they essentially pitched this as a way to get their foot in the door, and they wanted to make this, and they worked on it for a few years. The head of PlayStation's Worldwide Studios was unimpressed with the project when he saw it in 2019, but he took some people from that team and reassigned them to do polish work on The Last of Us Part 2 after it had been delayed a few times. When The Last of Us Part 2 finally shipped, some people from Naughty Dog were moved onto this remake project, and now that team is essentially a part of Naughty Dog, and the game is consolidated under Naughty Dog's budget. So they didn't really get to make their own studio like they had been hoping to. Similarly, Bend Studio, that did Days Gone a few years ago, they pitched a sequel because Days Gone was profitable, but it took a long time to make, and it didn't get very good critical reception. So Sony said no and ended up assigning them to work on a new Uncharted game and to provide assistance to Naughty Dog working on this Uncharted project. And to me, that's the interesting part of this story, is that Sony was kind of pushing all these resources towards their darling, towards Naughty Dog, and to the point where the Bend studio eventually asked to be taken off the Naughty Dog project so they could make their own game again, because they didn't like acting as backup for someone else, and they were afraid of being basically consolidated into Naughty Dog or turned into like Naughty Dog North and not being allowed to do their own thing. And apparently they are working on their own game now, but it seems like the core of this article, you know, aside from the fact that they might be working on a Last of Us remake, they might be doing a new Uncharted project, the more interesting thing to me is that it shows that Sony is trying to push all of their resources towards their biggest teams, their biggest blockbusters. They're less willing to take chances on new IP or new teams. That's kind of the crux of it to me, and what I find kind of concerning with Sony.
So, you know, I've heard different opinions about this on Twitter and on the social medias and on GBA Temp, obviously. Some people are saying, hey, if you can get me Uncharted 1, not Uncharted, Last of Us 1 with Last of Us 2 gameplay and graphics, I'd buy that in an instant for $70. I don't care. I've heard that. I've heard other people, just like Eric, saying this is stupid. Why would you remake this game? It came out like only 6 years ago, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And
what did it come out? Was it 2013?
Or it was the last PS3 game, I think.
Maybe this is just going to be Sony's answer to future Skyrim ports only being available on Xbox because of the Bethesda sale.
Yeah, but no, those are ports. This isn't a port. This is a starting from scratch, basically.
And fair enough.
It came out on the PS3 in 2013.
Okay, so 7 years? No, six. Yeah, 7 years. So, concerning this, one very interesting thing that somebody brought up was, remember the first Resident Evil game? And remember the remake that came out for the GameCube?
Dude, you almost became a Jill sandwich.
What?
That's all I remember from Resident Evil 1, honestly.
Isn't that the one where Dracula fights a pharmaceutical company?
To legitimately answer your question, Alan John, yes, I do remember the original Resident Evil, and then I do remember Remake.
Those were only 6 years apart.
Really?
Yeah.
It wow.
Blows my mind. Because, like, the generational leap between, like, first-gen PS1 and then second-gen PS2 and GameCube, for that matter.
Fair enough.
So huge. But, like, the generational leap here is actually bigger than that. Because that's a PS3 game, and we're on PS5 right now.
I would also say it's slightly different since we also got a version of The Last of Us on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of going from the PS4 to the PS5, which is not a huge transition aside from loading times for the most part.
But, you know, they're probably going to remake all the assets from scratch. Why, though? Like, that's... Why spend your money and time on this that nobody asked for, unless they have something in mind, something like the PS3 can do. Like, they want to really show graphically what the PS5 is capable of, you know, something insane, something even better than Last of Us Part 2. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt that they can show like anything like that, because that's just stupid. Why not just give any intern at Sony like $100 to fix Bloodborne already? Just give it 4K, give it a 60 frames per second patch, or even 120. Fuck it. Just remove the cap entirely. Just do that and publish it for PS5, because that's one of the only Sony exclusives that hasn't been optimized at all for the PS5. It's insane. It doesn't make sense. Literally, people are doing it like for free, like hackers and stuff, but Sony can't do that. Remake Bloodborne instead. Like, Demon Souls is a very, very niche game. Like, not a lot of people play Demon Souls, right? Dark Souls was the big Souls game that blew up, but Demon Souls, no. Bloodborne was way more popular than Demon's Souls ever was. But Demon's Souls got a remake from the ground up, and it was a launch title. So, okay, why is Bloodborne just sitting there and doing nothing. What's the issue there? And why are you just spending your time on a Last of Us remake out of all things?
I don't know. I still just keep going back to the over-reliance on their big budget titles. Like, I don't know. When was the last time Sony did something weird? Like Parappa the Rappa?
I think the last time Sony did anything unique and original on their consoles was that really weird Disney Final Fantasy crossover game they made.
Yeah, what a piece of shit that was.
I will... First of all, there's Pixar in it now too. Okay, so you know, first of all, let me just tell you, Kingdom Hearts.
Eric is so fucking crazy.
Is the greatest story, the second greatest story ever told. It's all canon. What's wrong with you? You gotta do it in gameplay order. You gotta start with Kingdom Hearts 1. Then you go to Chain of Memories. Then you go to Kingdom Hearts 2. What is wrong with you, you absolute moron? No, it's like you guys don't even care. Get a PS4 and or a PS5. Play Kingdom Hearts 1.5, followed by Kingdom Hearts 2.5, followed by Kingdom Hearts 2.8, followed by Kingdom Hearts 3, followed by Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memories, and then, yo.